And I want to say thanks to some friends that came this morning. I invited a few people that have been a significant part of my life while I've been here on Guam. So thanks to those that came. I really appreciate that. I won't pick people out personally to embarrass them, but they know who they are, and I appreciate that they're here. Others that I did want to mention by name, wanted to say thank you to Gary Hamburger, Howard Merrill, Steve Stinnett, Henry DeVries, and Eric Sorensen. They all occasionally recorded video sermons for us during our time without a pastor. Thanks also to Dr. Bill Wood, Mike Saban, Peter Knapp, Bruce Jenkins, Gary Hood, Dr. Brad Quist, Charles O, and Liebenzell missionaries David Jarsitz and Mike Branch. They all preached for us during this interim period. Maybe you didn't remember or think of all the people that have helped us during this time period. I was there on occasion, but I wasn't preaching all that often. And I think the Lord blessed us with good people that came, shared the word from their hearts, and especially the men that did the video sermons. All of them did those specially for Faith Church. A couple of them said, can I just use something that I've had? And I said, well, we'd really appreciate something geared to us. And they all took the extra time that it required to have something specially for our church. So I just wanted to say thanks to all of them. And you also can say thank the Lord for what they did for us. And then beyond that, just a number of people in our church that have taken us through this period. Your church council has been faithful, led by Brother Kim. And you see Kim's one of the most visible because he's up here every week, but there's others. Kim would say the same. Many others behind the scenes that have helped during this interim period. And I think it's symbolic and the way God works that my last Sunday here will be the 24th. That'll be the first Sunday that Pastor Frank preaches. I mean, is that like God or what? We were thinking of having some kind of a baton to pass on that Sunday, but that is so like the Lord that my last Sunday here, his first Sunday to preach, and his time to really move Faith Church into a new chapter. So this morning, before I share, let me pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for all that have gathered, especially a few special people that have come this morning to help provide encouragement. And Lord, I just ask now that you would speak through me as I share a bit of my story and my time here, that you would have words to say to them, encouraging and helpful words that would perhaps give them some insight in their own walk with you. We do pray in Jesus' name, amen. This won't be a very in-depth Bible study today. I'll be sharing some scriptures, but it's mainly sharing a bit of my story. My friend Pastor Caesar will be coming up in a few minutes to share briefly about the importance of accountability, because he's been one of my main accountability partners while I've been here on Guam, and he'll share from his heart as well. Well, I was born during a pandemic. It was called an epidemic back in those days, the polio epidemic. That's when I was born, in 1954, pretty much in the middle of what was a pretty awful epidemic slash pandemic. People were very scared of polio, at first because they didn't know how it was passed or where it came from. That was discovered later. It is a virus. It's still around. It's almost been completely eradicated, but it does pop up now and then. And so I contracted polio at 3 months old. And at one point, what killed a lot of the babies was not the polio, it was pneumonia. Their systems were weakened, and so they were susceptible to infection. And that often is what actually killed infants, not the polio so much, but pneumonia. And I contracted pneumonia on top of the polio at 3 months old. And at one point, my mom had been almost living at the hospital, but she went home to take a break, and They actually called her and said, Mrs. Nelson, you need to come down here. We don't know if he's going to make it through the night. Surprise! So even before, and I want to start with Psalm 139, even before I knew or had a clue that I needed God's help and protection, he was there for me. From Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Let me repeat that last sentence. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before I knew I needed God's hand of providence, and that's what I'm focusing on this morning, and that's an old Reformed term, the hand of providence. It relates to the sovereignty of God on the one hand, but also his provision, that he's a God who provides. So that'll be my focus today. So early on, through that contracting of polio, and some may say, well, Brother Jeff, you say God is your provider and he's watching over you, but you did get polio, and that's true. And I'm not going to try to explain the whys and wherefores of that, but I survived when many infants passed away, but I did have polio, and I've dealt with it my whole life. But it's also been something God has used to open up doors with people. They see that you're going through challenges, and they open up. And so that's been part of the blessing side of that. It's provided an open door a lot of times. The next provision was the right mother, Frances Claire Nelson. Proverbs 31:27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That was my mom in spades. She raised four of us on her own when my dad passed away. I was about 9 years old when my dad died. Complications from pneumonia, oddly enough. And he was a heavy smoker, which didn't help, which kept me away from smoking all my life. Thank you, Dad, for that. But my mom raised four of us on her own on a high school secretary's salary. I have no clue how she did it. We never felt we were poor. Somehow she managed financially. And in terms of how she handled me, she never coddled me. She always protected me. Don't make a mistake that she didn't protect me, but never coddled me, never let me get away with things. If I fell down, she always expected me to get up on my own if I could. She'd first find out, are you hurt? If I wasn't hurt, then, okay, get up. So I got very good at getting up on my own. And that was just a symbol of the way my mom was through my growing up years. So that was another provision, was the right mother. And also growing up in a small town, I think that was a provision. I had very little teasing growing up. The kids just knew me from when I was very little. So that's, you know, Jeff limps, that's Jeff, you know. So there was very little teasing. I didn't have to go through that very much, even in high school, college, just never really had much of that. And I had plenty of friends, physically disabled or challenged friends, who went through, excuse the phrase, hell, to deal with who they were and the teasing that they took. So that was another provision for me. And then always the provision of the physical ability to work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 is pretty blunt. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. That's pretty harsh, Paul. It's right there in the Bible, though, folks. If a man will not work, he should not eat. Obviously, there's exceptions because of circumstances, but each situation along the way, God has always given me enough physical ability, enough physical strength to do the job that I had to do. In Iowa, I worked at a small radio station. I was the sign-on DJ, which meant up at 5:30 to be at the station a little before 6, Mountain Dew in hand to give me a little jolt. That's where the is addiction. I guess I should be honest and say that's where the addiction started to good old Mountain Dew. 6 years there, so I was on early in the morning. I was the sports guy, so I did play-by-play of live sports, baseball, basketball, football, whatever was on. So late nights, sports, early morning, my trick was to put the alarm clock far enough away that I had to get out of bed to shut it off. Many bad words came out yelling at that alarm clock that I couldn't reach. But 6 years of that, and physically I was able to do it. I lugged equipment. I climbed in and out of press boxes. Did that for 6 years. And then decided to quit. Wasn't a Christian then. I always went to church. Our family was always church going, but I just didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Decided to quit my job, assuming, because radio, there's a lot of come and go, there'd be another job like all of a sudden. Not the case. 6 months unemployment. And that's when the Lord provided a friend who helped to point me toward Jesus. His name was Craig. He worked as the engineer at the Iowa radio station I was at, and he started talking to me about a personal relationship with the Lord. I didn't really know about that. I just knew I was Lutheran. That's what I always told him. I'm Lutheran. That was my description of myself. In college, a friend named Dan, whose last name, oddly enough, was Christian, asked me one time, "What does that mean, Jeff, when you say you're a Lutheran?" I had no response. Didn't know. Wasn't sure what that meant. So that question, I just kind of put it in the back of my mind for years, because I didn't come to the Lord, that personal relationship, until about age 30. But Dan, and then later Craig was really the key. He ended up eventually leading me to the Lord, got saved during that unemployment period. And then the Lord opened up the doors to Trans World Radio. I don't think I'll go into all of that, but the Lord made it very obvious that was the direction to head, was to, I'm skipping a whole chapter here. New Mexico was the door that first opened, but jumping to Guam too early there. But Family Life Radio in New Mexico was the next open door, which happened like boom, boom, boom after I became a believer. Got baptized in a lake in Iowa in October and didn't shiver at all. Everybody else was like that. And that's the one thing I remember. I felt no cold at all in that lake. And within a couple weeks after that baptism, one interview I had done, a letter I'd sent out, which led to a phone interview with this little station in Albuquerque. It was a startup. It was brand new. And so one thing led to another, and I ended up at Family Life Radio in Albuquerque. And again, physically, the Lord provided just enough physical strength to do what I had to do when I was in Albuquerque. And that provision of help during the trials from Romans 5, this was something the Lord provided, was those trials before I got to Albuquerque. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. My low point during that unemployment, I can still remember it. I had a dental appointment. Started to rain, got in my car, I'm halfway to the dental appointment, my wipers quit. I pulled over to the side of the road, just started banging on the steering wheel. This is before the salvation part of the story. And just crying out to a God I didn't really know, why is all this happening to me? I have very little money left, I'm unemployed, my wipers just quit. I'm going to be late to my dental appointment, and I just was pounding on that steering wheel. So that was the low point. And then not too long after that is when things turned around and the Lord just really blessed my socks off with that Albuquerque ministry position. And then after 13 years in Albuquerque, felt the Lord nudging me. It was time to move on. You've done everything you can do here. It's time to move on. Where, Lord? I had no idea. There was a little book, Towers to Eternity. Those of you with Transworld know that book well. It was the story of Transworld Radio. It had been in our station bookshelf forever. And one day I was walking by it, and that book just kind of called to me. So I picked it up. It's a short book. It's a quick read. And I was really fascinated by the story. So that's when I contacted Transworld Radio. It led to an interview over the phone. And they said, I think Guam would be the best fit. And I go, Guam? Could you give me an idea where that is? I'd heard of it. You know, I'd heard of Guam. So it was a long ways away. And most of my friends thought I was crazy. But I find when you seek the counsel of friends, remember where they're coming from. People that had really not traveled thought I was insane. People that traveled a lot said, what's the big deal, Jeff? So always take into account who you're talking to when you're getting counsel from friends. Make it be a Christian that's mature and doesn't let his own personal experiences get too much in the way. And so that's what I did. I tried to listen to the people that had a little more depth. And Gary Hamburger, God bless him, he really helped point me toward the decision to go to Guam. So here I came, and it was July of 96, and I'll be departing this year in July. So right about it, 26 years, almost as long as Pastor Neil. I think he was a titch longer than that, but almost. And again, all during this time, the Lord has provided, again, that physical ability needed to do whatever the job was, whatever needed to be done. The Lord has provided that part. And then that provision, as I said, of the open doors both to Transworld and then to come here to Faith Church, going back to Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And we're on the far side of the sea, right? The joke is if Guam was any further away, it'd be closer, right? So we're a long ways from the good old mainland, but be that as it may, there was plenty of ministry opportunity here. And after a reorganization of Transworld Radio about year 2000, Pastor Neil and I had been talking. I was by then a pretty regular member of Faith Church, and he said, you know, Jeff, if things ever change with Transworld, and when we had that conversation, I was pretty solidly involved, and then, you know, like a year later, things really changed, and I was kind of let go, would be a way to put it, by Transworld Radio, but Neil and I had those conversations. I called him and I said, you know, Pastor Neil, when you said if things changed with Transworld Radio, well, they have changed. So we sat down and worked out this kind of a unique situation. I was going to be an independent missionary, and if you want to blow the mind of your sponsoring church, use the phrase independent missionary. They freaked out in Albuquerque at Hope Church, one of my main sponsoring churches. They had no clue what that meant. What do you mean independent missionary? What does that mean you're going to do? So I had to have a few conversations about what that meant, and eventually they understood. It was basically assistant pastor to Pastor Neil and the Micronesian ministry and our dear brother Betwin. How many funerals did Betwin and I go to? I could not tell you. How many hours did we sit and just be there with families that were grieving? But it built relationships with the Micronesian churches over the years. And I know we all still miss our brother dearly, but that was a big part of the ministry here. And you have been such a blessing to me during my time here, members of Faith Church, but also some of my friends that I've invited, a vital part of where I'm at today. And so now it's the retirement chapter, and we'll the Lord still be providing? Well, I think so. Isaiah 46:4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. The gray hairs are becoming fewer and fewer. I had one dear friend said, not gray, Jeff, a lovely silver. So I've tried to hold on to that. It's a lovely silver. But you know how God counts the hairs on our head? It's becoming less and less of a job for him with me. But even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. We change. God does not change. And your number one prayer for me can be, Lord, help Brother Jeff to find meaningful ministry in New Mexico. I don't really care what it is. I just don't want to be home on the laptop doing solitaire hour upon hour with Mountain Dew at my side. I want to be doing something meaningful. So if you have a number one prayer for me, that would be it. And I found out I'm technically living in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. My mailing address is in Elephant Butte, so some colorful names, both mailing address and living-wise. And those of you at a certain age, yes, it's named after the game show. Hot Springs, New Mexico won a contest to be renamed Truth or Consequences. They shot a show live there. It was a deal they set up. If your town will let us come out and shoot a show, one game show, and if you rename your town, we'll do that. So they agreed. They won the contest. And so now it's Truth or Consequences, right next to Elephant Butte. So that's what I'm telling. So where are you moving to? First I said Elephant Butte. Where's that? Well, that's next to Truth or Consequences. Like they should know. They're kind of sister towns, like the two villages would be together on Guam somewhere. That's kind of the relationship between Elephant Butte and Truth or Consequences. So we'll see if I can handle small town life. The number two prayer request would be the medical side. I'll need to be close to a chiropractor. I don't know that I can find another one quite like my friend that I've been going to. But chiropractor, physical therapist, two absolute vital keys for me. And then just having decent medical access. And those towns are quite a ways from Albuquerque. So we'll see. The Lord's in control. We'll see how it works. It's going to be a cheap place to live for me. I don't have a lot of steep rent or anything where I'm going to be moving to. So that's a huge plus. And my friend Bob Siner, is the one that has kind of talked me into giving this a try. So just pray for Bob as well. He's actually doing his online seminary classes to become a pastor, or at least part-time pastor of the church where I'm staying in their parsonage. So their parsonage has been empty. They haven't had a pastor for a long, long time. So that's actually where I'm staying. And then Bob will eventually become the pastor there. So all those things to consider and to pray about. But thank you for the years here since a little after 2000. 2002 maybe was when I really became active here in the ministry at Faith Church. And all the support and the love that you've given over the years. Difficult to put that completely into words. And I certainly have mixed feelings in leaving. It's hard to leave after all these years. But I do feel very strongly it's time. But do know I leave with a tremendous amount of mixed feelings. And I'm going to close here, but I'm going to bring my friend Pastor Cesar Crisostomo from the Island Hope Church up. He was a little nervous whether or not we let in non-Reformed people. And I said, yeah, we just check your doctrine at the door and then put a stamp that you're cleared. So he thought maybe that would be okay. But he and I, since COVID started, or soon after COVID anyway, every Friday he calls, and we spend a good 45 minutes to an hour on the phone sharing what's gone on during the week. Then we pray, and we just hold each other up, hold each other accountable. And one quick story on Pastor Cesar. He's a little bit like Brother Betwin, a little bit of a worry wart on the side. I forgot to tell him one Friday I wasn't going to be around. I think it was John Tomata's promotion to major. Forgot to tell him I wasn't going to be around, so he called my home a couple times. Called the cell. I had turned it off. And usually I respond right away when he calls or texts. No response. Wait a little while. Started to get kind of worried. Called Elaria. Do you know where Brother Jeff is? I hadn't told Elaria where I was. So now Pastor Caesar's worried, and our secretary is worried. So they were about ready to send somebody to the apartment to check and make sure what was going on. But just before they did that, I got out of the promotion ceremony and saw these missed calls on my cell and called Pastor Caesar that it was okay. Call off the dogs, everything was okay. So anyway, just wanted to share that little story on my brother. But brother, please come, share.
Wow. I'm going to go ahead and pray as well. I'm nervous. Father, thank you, Lord, for such a time as we're having as familia. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence here this morning. And thank you for the worship and the prayers. And, Lord, even just a wonderful, powerful testimony of our pastor, our brother Jeff. And now, Lord, as I just, in just a little bit of a time, just to share my heart of just how he has enriched my life, and I'm sure everybody here has been enriched by the life of Jeff. And so, Lord, just you be glorified, you be honored, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for having me here, and Jeff, thanks for inviting me. I am really honored, and to just kind of look out, of course, I see those faces that Jeff is talking about that has also been a tremendous gift to my life as well here in the island community. My relationship with Faith Church, of course, started out with Pastor Neil many years ago when I was, you know, we first started the ministry here at Island Hope almost 22 years now. And young pastor, didn't know what I was doing, but everyone here knew Pastor Neil, at least in the island. I didn't. But with the Guam Ministerial Association, they always says, well, you know, you need to talk to Neil. You need to talk to Neil. And finally, I did, and we had some time, and he was really a tremendous encouragement in my life at that time. And, of course, with your Pastor Tom in recent years, you know, we had those weekly times of sitting with him as well, along with other pastors. But with Jeff, with Pastor Jeff or Brother Jeff, we got to meet each other with the prison ministry many years back, over, I would say, 15 years ago. And I see familiar faces here who embraced me as well and allowed us to minister at Department of Corrections and wonderful time, even to this very day. But I just want to say, there's three things, and Jeff goes, oh, you got 3 points? You go, you're really a pastor, right? 3 points and a conclusion here. And but I did ask him, I said, is there a clock in the back that I can look at and say, how much time do I have, right? Because 3 points, that might take 3 hours for me. And so just throw something at me, Jeff, when it's that time. But also on behalf of Anna, who co-pastors with me at the church, she's of course at our church, she loves you dearly. She knows several of you guys here. Sorry she couldn't be here, but we've had those times with her as well. So she sends her love, and hopefully see you in a little bit. But Jeff has been that pillar of strength in my life. And I think he has been for many of us, or if not all of you here. And we can extend that out of the walls of this church. Pastor Jeff or Jeff has been that, especially to the men and women, both either incarcerated or families that are incarcerated, or even with the those that are working there, the guards themselves. I believe Jeff has been a pillar of strength. I know he has been with me over these years and those times. I know he spoke a little bit on the last 2 years, and I'll come back to that. But in those prison times, like Paul and Silas were, you know, we're always in prison, right? And thank God we always got to get out, right, after several hours. But three things I'm going to share of who Jeff or Pastor Jeff has been to me. He's definitely been, a brother. He always signs off. I'm sure he does with some of you, but he always signs off in his emails or his texts, you know, your chelu, right, your brother. And you are that. And I'm going to miss you, as well as everyone here. One of the first things I want to share about our friendship, and he uses the word accountability, and I want to go beyond, you know, really, it is that, but it's a friendship. It's a relationship. It's real. It wasn't just like, you know, here in the island, we would say, oh, toka, meaning, oh, you're going to get it. It wasn't that at all. It was a real, genuine, you know, a brother friendship. And so I'm going to show a couple of things. I hope this is okay. And of course, they're a smaller version, but Jeff has been, and you have to, I get kind of emotional here, especially with someone I love dearly. But he in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, it says, if the iron is blunt and no one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. And really, there's been times in life, not just in ministry, but in my personal life, where it seems like I'm just hacking away with a machete that is so dull. It's blunt, like the Bible says. But Jeff has been that sharpening stone, or grinding stone, if you will. But this is a new one. I think I have used Jeff up. You know, I mean, he has sharpened my life throughout these years, and thank God for that, because we do fall, and life gets hard and difficult, and not knowing our spiritual edge is dulled or gets dull. But thank God for the Lord, and definitely His Word sharpens us. But He brings people in our lives. Yeah, that's why we're together. That's why we're familiar. I often would say, if God intended us to live alone, then He would had stopped creation with Adam. But no, He created us to live life together, to be this to one another, to be a sharpening stone. Because my life and even my spiritual life gets dull, and I do get worried here and there more than I should. And Pastor Jeff, time and time again, God has used to sharpen the dull edge of my life, and so I just want to say that thank you. So for being that, thank you for sharpening my edge, and all these years. And my hope is that, I'm sure it is the same with you, that Jeff has been that, hasn't he? He has been a sharpening stone to this ministry and to the other ministries that the Lord has brought him across this island. 26 years, wow. That's amazing. That's tremendous. He told me that story, that he came for 2 years, but now it's been 26 years. And I thank God. You know, our island is definitely better. Yeah, it is troubling, right, on the seasons we're living. But this island is going to miss you. This church, I know I am going to miss you. The other one is this. So he's been a sharpening stone in my life. He's sharpened my edge again and again. The other one is that he has been let's see if you guys can see this. He has been a plumb line or plumb Bob. So we'll call it plumb Jeff, right? And so this is for you. Bring this to you, truth and consequences. I hope you're saying on the truth side of that town, right? And let me read a scripture in Amos. Chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. This is what he showed me. This is what is written there. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people, Israel. I will spare them no longer." Now, I think for the most part, all of us understand what I remember as a young kid here. My dad owned a construction company. We did a lot of the concrete poles. When it used to be wooden poles, we would replace it into concrete poles. I was a little kid. And I remember my dad was holding one of these, you know, and I was a little boy. And says, "What is that, Dad?" And he says, "Well, it's a plumb line, you know, so what is it for?" And we were in Talafofo. He says, "Well, it's before all the high-tech gadgets that we have today. Boy, this thing it works so well, isn't it?" And he just put that up and says, "So that we can make sure that pole that we're installing is plumb. It's vertical." And the Lord has used Jeff as a plumb Jeff or a plumb line in my life. He has helped me. I remember hearing this in a service here a while back. So this is not my own saying, but I took that and I wrote it down. You know, I remember it was said of the person. It says, you know, this person lived an upright life in an upside down world. And you know what? Pastor Jeff has been that to me. He has helped me live upright. Not perfect, by far. I'm not better than anyone here. But he has helped me through all those years, especially these last 2 years, but it's really, really hard as pastors to do ministry during these last 2 years. And there was many times I wanted to, I'm done. I don't know how to do this thing. And he has helped me to live uprightly in this broken world, in this upside down world. And so thank you, Jeff, for being a plumb Jeff, right? And kept me vertical in my relationship with the Lord, in my relationship with my wife, Anna, in my relationship to the church that God has called me to. And so I want to say thank you to that. And I'm sure, like I said, with regards to him being a sharpening stone to this church and to you, I'm sure he has been a plumb Jeff that has helped the ministry here and you as maybe as an individual live in a life in vertical relationship with the Lord. And so so am I okay with time? All right, okay. And I'm almost done. Yeah, famous last words, right? Because I tell you what, there's things in our lives, and I'm not exempt to it. As I read the scripture, that you think it's plumb, you think it's upright, but it's not. And it takes someone that you can be honest with, and you are allowed to be honest with you. He talked about accountability. And I've given Jeff that permission, and there was many, you know, there's times he says, "Well, you know, Caesar, you have to be careful with this," or that's kind of a little bit, and so he's been that plumb line. And one of the words that he always would say about me is that, "Caesar, don't overthink it," because I overthink things so much that I'm actually out of alignment, you know, in the things of God, and so thank you. All right. And then lastly, let me read the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And not only Jeff has been that sharpening stone or grinding stone that helped me sharpen my edge spiritually, everywhere, mentally, physically, and been that plumb Jeff and that plumb line that's helped me live vertically. But it's also been that one that has encouraged me, that spurred me on. And actually, in the deeper context of that, the original word there, it says to provoke and to stir up, to stimulate, or even the word there has a meaning. It says to irritate. And I tell you what, there was time that, you know, Jeff is so kind and so gracious, But there's sometimes I felt like I wanted to hang up because, you know, it can get irritating, but what it is, it was spurring me on. There was a season in my life and Anna's life where it was really hard, you know. This was about 4 years ago, 2017, and I didn't want to admit that I was coming to a place of burning out as a pastor. It was affecting our marriage, it was affecting the ministry, and I went and I called my cello, my brother, and he spoke into my life. And he sharpened things, and he helped me see things in alignment. But as much as sometimes I didn't like it, there was some of that irritation that says, no, you, this has to go. This has to change. And he has spurred me on. And now, you're probably wondering, okay, there's this two tools. And so I had not enough time to find a spur. Like I remember it to be on those movies, you know, where the cowboys will have it. And so this is the closest thing that I can come up with regards to spurring us on. And he actually brought it up because I know this has spurred on Jeff even in the very beginning. This is for the trip for you, okay? But he has been a Mountain Dew for my life as well. And I think he has been for you. Now, you're going to New Mexico, right? And so I'm hoping this coming Christmas you send me a real cowboy spur, right? And I'm sure there's genuines over there. But for the time being, I think this is as true as it is. He said it in his testimony that he was sitting there at the radio station having that Mountain Dew to perk him up, to spur him on, and to get going. And Jeff has been that. These last 2 years has been difficult for all of us. It's been challenging for our island community, for the world as a whole. But for us, for you, for your familias, for us as ministers and pastors, and a lot of people don't see that how challenging it was even more so. But Jeff, all these Fridays, and even that time when I was calling him and he wasn't answering and he forgot to tell me, I was really scared. So I kept calling your office, you know, Hilaria, where is he? You got to call 911, you know. I was ready to call 911, but thank God, you know, he goes, oh, I'm here. But Jeff has listened to me again and again in all those conversations. Yes, we've had those times in prison. We had an office there in at Department of Correction, a chapel, and we'd make sure we sit together before, you know, his service would start and so forth. And we've had many of those times. But this last 2 years, I don't think we've missed a week. We've missed a Friday. But I would either call on a Saturday or a Thursday or a Wednesday before. And thank God that he would always say, because sometimes I would call him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because there was such a need. But I thank God for you. You have been a pillar of strength in my life, in Anna's life, in our marriage, and in this church familia. And so continue to be this. Continue to be this, and continue to be this, not only for other people there in the new ministries that God is going to bring fruitfulness to, but also to yourselves, to your own life. Let the Word of God, as has been true in your life, continue to sharpen you and keep you upright. You know, we're talking about a chiropractor and our friend is here, has been so grateful. I use that illustration so many times. You know, there's things that get misaligned. And we go to his clinic and he cracks us here and twists us there and it pops us here and you come up feeling better. And things that was misaligned is aligned once again. And you've helped us with that as well. And you have been that spiritually to many people. And so if it's okay, I'd like to pray for Pastor Jeff and the church. and just our day, right? Father, thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful time that we can have together as your familia. Lord, today we have heard your in song of your faithfulness and your goodness, Lord. We have heard your faithfulness even in the prayer requests and the desires of people and the hopes that we have in you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for the testimony and just the short story of Jeff, of how you have led him throughout these years, even from the very beginning, in like Psalm 139, you have created him and formed him wonderfully and beautifully in his mother's womb. And so, Lord, today, as we celebrate you, we celebrate his life and his ministries that you have called him here at our beautiful island of Guam. And now, Lord, as you have called him to back home to New Mexico, we simply pray that your grace and your mercy and your provision will continue. We have no doubt that you will. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Things has already been in place. Lord, things has already been put into alignment. And so he asked, Lord Jesus, for fruitful ministry, and we know that you're going to give that. As he has been fruitful in the ministries here on our island, we know that will also be true in Truth and Consequence, that town in New Mexico. Lord, he also asked a prayer for the medical needs that we have. A chiropractor that will be nearby and the medical needs that we'll have. Lord, we know that you've already positioned those needs for him and for his care. And so, God, I simply ask, Lord, to just be upon him, especially in these last weeks of his time here in Guam. He said there's that mixed emotion, and I know I have similar, and I'm sure the church familiar here at Faith feels the same. And so, Lord, I pray for your comfort and your grace upon the hearts of the familiar here at Faith Church. As the days get closer for him to get on that plane, Lord, I pray that you will simply sustain them, Lord, as they begin to give him a hug and a kiss and an embrace and those lasting moments of conversation, Lord, I pray, God, that you will grace them through it. You will strengthen them, Lord. And Lord, we do thank you for the provision I believe it's Frank and Hillary, Lord, the Gooders, Lord, as they are heading here to this church familia. We ask, God, that you continue, Lord Jesus, to bring provision upon their lives as well. We thank you for the blessing of these new pastors that will be installed this coming Sunday, Lord, here in their in Faith Church. And so, God, thank you. Thank you that you've given us each other to sharpen each other, Lord, to help each other to live upright in a broken down world, and to encourage, to spur on one another, especially as we see, the Bible says, the day approaching. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again.